Dirk, kan ek jou vra om ons toe open met gebed asseblief vanoggend?
Ja, seker. Yes, Here, thank you, Lord, for this morning again. Father, thank you for just pulling us again together. Father, thank you that you have got a will for us in this day. You have planned this day. You've set it apart. Father, you are the one that's whispering in our ears, speaking in our hearts. Father, thank you that your kingdom has been established within us, so that your kingdom can be established through us. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for this group, for every person hearing my voice now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dirk. I see Freek has got his camouflage on this morning. He's ready to go to war in the bush. It reminds me when we were in the Caprivi in our border duty. The UNTAC forces joined us to pull out of the war there, and the Finnish battalion was with us, and their camouflage was white, like snow white, obviously because they fight in the snow, so their camouflage must be white. And I asked them, how effective do you think your camouflage is going to be here in the bush? And I think they only realized then that they have the wrong camouflage on for the job. So you're talking about camouflage. We discussed a little bit ago that we are going to go through the full armor of God. And then in the meantime, a little theme was thrown in a couple of times, and that is obedience. And so I'm apologizing that we are starting the full armor of God. Well, not starting. We started with the belt of truth, but now we're jumping to the helmet of salvation. So we're not going in the order that it's put on in the Word. And I'm not sure what led me to go to it that way, but just bear with me, because I think what the Holy Spirit wants to tell us is that the helmet of salvation has also got an aspect of obedience. Just follow my lead in this, and I think we'll have a great discussion. So you know, when I started feeling the Spirit about this helmet of salvation, the word obedience came up a couple of times. You know, and Freek, when we spoke last week, we were talking about your journey, you know, your tour, and that was all about obedience. So that you see where I'm going with this. So I just made a couple of notes just to kick us off this morning. You know, obviously Ephesians 6 verse 17, the helmet of salvation. And if you and I don't want to get clever here with the guy, the crowd that I've got around me, because that would be a big mistake. You know, these guys here that know, read their word in many languages, some of them in the languages that they were written. But if I understand the Greek part, because it makes it very interesting when you go back to the origin, and I'm sure we can ask Peter to just help us with this. But the word panoply, and we use a lot of these terms in our modern day language, you know, poly, panoply, plastic, you know, it's all Greek origins. But panoply means the complete, you know, the whole armor of God. You cannot go into your battle and you forgot to put your boots on, because you're going to have a difficult time fighting, because you're going to be stepping on the thorns and it's going to distract you. You have to put the complete armor of God on. And then, Peter, you mentioned when we started the permanence of this. You know, if you go back to that Greek origin, if I'm correct, it is a permanent thing. It's not something you put in when you wake up on the morning. You don't put your armor of God on in the morning. Derek, I was skinnering about you when you were off to, I think you were doing something in Delmas or Buffsfontein or that area. And you once told me that in the mornings your wife puts on your bulletproof jacket while she's praying for you, because that bulletproof jacket is only going to take you so far. But of course, the prayer is where the real bulletproof part starts. So the permanence, you know, you put it on your helmet of salvation. It's not something that you put on in the morning. It is something that you wear with permanence. It's something that you have to have on all the time. In one of the descriptions that I read up on, this is a different point, is that the helmet of salvation is to live every day focused on eternity and the promised future we have. It is not only a protection. It is to shape our minds. You know, the obedience part of it comes in, that we focus on that part. And then, you know, the hat. A while ago, I was chatting to a friend of mine, and I told him that in the winter months, I sit here exactly where I'm sitting now. That's where I have my quiet time. I take my blanket because it's cold, and I pull it all over my body, and I put it over my head. And he says, is that a good thing to pray with a hat on? I said, but my blanket is not a hat, but it's a covering. You know, and I don't want to get religious, but it says, the hat symbolizes your obedience. And then the last point I just want to make before we get going, you know, it's I had a chat with a guy once, and I said to him, "How you know, we in the industry, when you go into certain factories, you have to have your safety gear on. You know, you have to have your steel cap." Shoes on, and you have to have a vest on that is a bright color with maybe some luminous striping on, and you have to, in some cases, have to have gloves on, and you have to have long pants on or good strong pants, and then you have to have, you know, those silly plastic miner's helmets on. And I said to him, you know, I understand about a motorcycle helmet. Those are sturdy, strong, padded things. But these plastic helmets, is it really going to help? And he was very sharp. And he said to me, it's not about what the mechanical protection factor. It is about the psychology when you dress in your safety gear. You automatically tell yourself, okay, now I'm going to a dangerous area. I need to make sure that I look after myself better. You know, it's a psychological thing. It is not only a mechanical thing. It is putting your mind, lining yourself up. You know, it's like I remember in army days, we had to clean our guns often. And I think it was more, Freek, I'm sure you guys remember this. It was more making sure that your gun is functional than the actual cleaning part of it. And making sure that you are comfortable with what you're going to use, your tools, you know. But it's a psychological thing. So you put your helmet of salvation on, and your mind is altered. Yeah, you. It's not. And I'm going to be a little bit naughty here. Peter, and I can see by the look on your face, you're ready to climb into this discussion seriously. It is not protection. I've heard somebody say that the helmet of salvation is your protection against sin. And I have difficulty agreeing with that, because I actually want to say it is your protection against even thinking of sin. It is a different mindset. Yeah. And yeah. So I think that's the notes that I've made so far. Let's get into the discussion. I would love to hear you guys' thoughts on the helmet of salvation and just your in general the protection that comes with the full armor of God. And we will obviously spend some time going through the full armor of God. I want to do a little bit of focus on the obedience part of it, but guys, let's get stuck into the conversation. Peter, I see you unmuted yourself. Are you, and your hand is up? Go for it, please.
1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. And a helmet of the hope of salvation. Our helmet is not our salvation. Our helmet is our hope. You see, all the promises that are tied up with our salvation, and that's where the obedience comes in. You either receive the new covenant or you reject it. And if you receive it, all the promises of the new covenant are yours. And so it's that hope that that protects us. And so our thinking needs to be, God, give me the mind of Christ. And we need to feed our mind with truth. That's on us to do that. We've got to feed our mind on truth. We reprogram our mind through the word. It changes your attitudes. It changes, it pulls down festings, strongholds. And most of all, we need to learn to speak and think in agreement with God's word and not the devil's words. You see, it's not what the people say about you. It's what God says, whose you are. And so it's the helmet of the hope. You see, it's our hope that all these promises are true. We will spend eternity with God. He never leaves us. We can know him personally. He has forgiven our sins and remembers them no more. All those promises are what keep us going, that I am a child of God. He never leaves me. I can get through everything because he will work it to the good. You know, all those promises need to, our mind needs to be focused and rich on all of those promises. And that is what protects us from stinking thinking. And of course, the truth is in the word. The truth is the word. So, yeah, but it's a helmet of the hope, the whip. Of vooruitzicht. That's a wonderful thought, that the expectation of salvation. You know, I once had a very clever legal partner of mine, very clever man, but completely atheist. His brother's a pastor in Cape Town. And the one day he and I had a chat. And he said, Peter, what if this is all just a fairy story? And I said, well, then he's got me out of drugs. He's got me out of alcohol. He's got me out of this and that. He's connected me to beautiful friends. And I've lived a life with purpose and destiny. So even if it is a fairy story. But I said, and you, Alan, as a very intelligent man, can you afford to take that chance? And so it's about whose you are.
Yeah.
They don't know what we know, you know. Thank you, Yella. Let's go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, so Peter, I've got my wife's Bible, because it's the only English Bible in the house. So I just want to read that that verse in this, the way they write it here is beautiful. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. Yeah, clear-headed. Yeah, we think of the lost son. Yeah, we was there yearning back home, you know, while feeding the pigs as a Jew boy, and he came to his senses. Yeah, and he said, "Let me turn around the way that I'm going." And you know, so I say, I would imagine coming to your senses and being clear-headed is very similar. Yeah, let us be clear-headed. Yeah, let's. Yeah, if you don't want to get conked on the head with a hammer or a sword, and have a headache. Let's be clear-headed that the helmet of salvation protect us. Dirk, go for it.
Menzo, you mentioned a word now, that confidence. For the guys that does evangelism and outreaches often, so many times I've seen that a area that I know was previously evangelized, and every time you go into this area, people get saved and they get saved again and again and again. I think one of the schemes of the enemy that he's using in the church is exactly that. People are not confident enough in their salvation. Am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I saved? Am I not saved? And the enemy so draws us into that position that we become absolutely useless to the kingdom, because we are so doubting our salvation. And as everybody on this group knows, that our salvation has got nothing to do with us. It's me being obedient. It's me standing up, accepting the good and full work that Jesus did on the cross for me. Like Peter said, he pulled us out of that stuff. And what a beautiful fairy tale story we're living. Man, I'm so happy that I'm in this fairy tale story. But yeah, so my point is, and what I've seen in churches even, you go and you visit another church and they've got a beautiful, strong leader, and he's been teaching and preaching for years, and you as an outsider, you come and you make an altar call, and some of the deacons and the elders stand up and they give their lives to the Lord. And I know, I don't want to diss anyone, but how strong and how confident are you in your salvation? And it's not confident in yourself, but he who established your salvation for you. That word confidence, I think, is so key, goes hand in glove with this helmet of salvation.
Thanks, Dirk. That is very powerful what you said now. There is one of your golden nuggets that you were looking for. The confidence. Because we are not made to be beggars. God has not made us, you're not begging for confidence. He is already, because it's not you. You cannot beg for it. You cannot get it. You cannot achieve it. It is because it is we're not earning our salvation. God gives it to us. Yes, Peter, go ahead, please.
Okay, I just want to read something that I've got with me that somebody said about this helmet of salvation. He said, with his head protected, the soldier feels safe in the midst of battle. Likewise, believers' possession of salvation gives them confidence of safeness during the assaults of the devil. That's all I want to say.
Absolutely. Now, if you don't have confidence in your equipment, you feel exposed. I agree absolutely. Go ahead, Freek. Feel safe.
Yeah, it's all about feeling safe. I just want to take you to the Passion Translation about Ephesians 6, verse 17. Embrace the power of salvation, full deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. Thoughts from lies. And it's all about, again, coming back to the truth, eh? I remember in the army days, if you only had your doiby on, the plastic doiby, you're going to have a bit of a hard day. It's going to be a tough day, a lot of PT. But if that corporal said, put on your stahl duck, now steel roofs, doesn't sound right, your stahl duck, it fitted over that doiby, eh? Remember that star duck?
Yeah, yeah.
And then this is the truth. Today is going to be a real day, an oppie day. And so that was all about, for me, it's all about the lies in this city of confusion, in your thoughts about
reminding you the whole time of your past, the enemy, the attack, like Peter said, that attack on you, want to tell you who you was. And then there's also other voices that say, just remember who he was. Don't forget who he was. And then you need to get back to, but I'm fully delivered. I'm fully saved. And I stand in agreement with you, Menzo. If we truly believe and know that Jesus' blood washed away all our sin and cleansed us, that we can overcome sin also by the grace of God. I remember when God said to Cain, look, sin is sitting at the door and his desire is to get you over, to come over you, and but you can overcome it. You can, like on my cap, you can at Basarok. And that's the thing for me. It's all about, in my own life, if something is not going right, like a situation I'm in now, and the devil wants to come and attack you with lies, you need to have that stall dock on top of this doibi. That's, you're very vulnerable just with the doibi. It's not going to help you to stop around a bullet when it's knocked at your head or hit at your head or shot at your head. But that stall dock gives you more protection. It's that steel, that truth, that cover. Yeah, it's still going to be tough, but God's got my back. God's got my back. That's why it's really important to know, with the armor of God, there's nothing at the back. He says you stand, and you fight this fight of faith, good faith. So yeah, it's all about that stall dock for me this morning, covering me, knowing, yeah, it's going to be a tough day, but God has got my back and he's fighting my battles and he's going before me. I just need to walk in his footsteps of righteousness. Thanks.
Rick, if I can quickly put you on the spot. Tell us the story about the attack. You know, when you walked into the room, I can't remember the details now, but where the demon said to you, tell the fat man to sit down or something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was trying to distract you. Just tell us that story quickly.
You know what happened a few years ago? I ministered one night there in the late Kobus van Hensburg's at Stilfontein. I think it was Loftal or something, spirit word. But it was a youth service. So I ministered at the youth service. And afterwards, a guy, the youth pastor, came to me and gave me some tapes that were still the tapes that you put in the radio, the tape player. My kids doesn't even know what it is. And he gave me a few tapes of Kobus. And I went home and I listened to one regarding fasting. And he told the story when he was in Bible school. There was a manifestation of a demon, and the person ran that was possessed by the demon and ran, and everybody was behind him, and eventually the demons threw him to the ground, and he was curling there like a snake, and a guy came up to him to command the devils to go. And he said to the devil or to the demons, he said, get out in the name of Jesus. And the demon said back to him, you cannot cast me out with that fat stomach. And while I was listening to this, and Kobus said when he came, because he was a mar oak, and he came and he said, go in the name of Jesus. And the demon went. I was looking at myself, and at that time I was much bigger than now. And I was thinking, oh my goodness. I've seen that came my way, especially in prison. I always tell people, if you don't believe there's a devil, just come with me to prison. You'll know after that there's a devil. And so I looked at myself and I thought, Lord, but something is not right, because by God's grace, it never happened to me up till there. And then later on, I was reading a book, and the guy wrote, it was all about sonship. The guy said in the book, the same thing happened to him. But when the demon said to him, you cannot cast me out with that fat stomach, he wanted to back out. And the Holy Spirit said to him, no, you're not here in the name of your stomach or your physical bolt or in your strength. You're here, the authority is in the name of Jesus Christ. And he commanded the devils to go, and it went. So God was preparing me for something. And a few years after that, it was about a year after that, I went to a friend's church there in Pretoria. I just came from Bobby Hanspoort Correctional Center. We, Medium B, I was ministering that day. And I went back and I said, I want to stop at my friend's church there in Pretoria. And I was sitting in his waiting room to go to see him in his office. And I could hear in his office, it sounded like there was a war going on. And I just said, get out in the name of Jesus, get out. And the next moment, the door opened and the pastor friend of mine came out and he said, man of God, come in. And we need you. And as I walked into his office, there was a lady sitting on a chair. And the next moment, she looked at me, I'm standing in the door, and she said to me, the demon said, tell the fat man to go. And at that moment, I started laughing. I said, wow, God, thank you, Father. And I said to him, I'm not here in the name of the fat man. I'm here in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. And he had to go. And she was delivered by the grace of God. So, yeah, that was an awesome story. A lesson in my life. Remember, also, it's not in your name. It's not in your strength. It's not in your power. It's not in your wisdom or your knowledge. The authority is in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, Rick. Thank you very much. That explains it very, very well. Samuel, you've got your hand up.
Yes. I just also want to say one or two words. In the future, when you look at the uniform of a soldier, helmet is special out of iron or steel. So it's a very protective part of the uniform. So in the spiritual also, someone wrote a book and said that the battle starts in our minds. It is where the devils start to attacking us in our thoughts. So Peter was using a word, reprogramming through the word. So what is happening in our mind is that when we are loaded with the word of God, that it's like bullets. The word of God is like bullets through which we have to fight this war. So we use the word. So through the word, our minds are also protected. Amen. Yes. So the helmet of salvation is very, very, very important. So when we are well protected in our thought life, so we will be victorious all the time, because the Bible said that we have the mind of Christ. So our mind functions very effectively only when we are loaded with the word. Yeah, thank you.
Sorry, guys, I'm having some finger trouble here. Absolutely, Samuel. It's interesting that Samuel mentioned now that the helmet is made out of metal. You've heard me talk about my brother-in-law many times. He's a very serious soldier in the American forces, special forces, and their helmet is not made out of steel anymore. They made out of a very special composite of Kevlar and things, and it's a magnificent piece of equipment, also quite pricey. And because of the weight, you know, you need to have a nice, effective helmet that's light, because they carry, and Samuel, I'm just telling the story because it ties up nicely. They carry, I think he said to me, 12,000 rounds with them, you know, and they're having a whole discussion about going heavier on their rounds because of the enemy's armament is so getting so much better that they have to go back to from the 223 to the 30 caliber rounds again, which is going to add another, I can't remember now, I think 6 or 7 kilograms to the payload that they've got to carry. But the point is having the right equipment and not being weighed down, because that was David's problem. You know, he was weighed down by the armament because the faith was in the armament, not in God. And then he said, let me take this off. I am coming here to destroy this enemy, and I'm getting weighed down by a necessary armament. Yeah, the armament needs to be light so that we can be effective. Peter, you had your hand up.
Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. It just takes our conversation another step forward. Do not throw away your confidence. So that is possible. We can throw away our confidence and come to a place where we say, ach, does this stuff of Jesus even work? And that's the attack that the enemy has on us, to try and get us to throw away. And our confidence included in the new covenant is that we have free access to Almighty God any day, anywhere, anytime. And it's confidence to come to Him and to know Him personally, and He knows us personally. I want to say quickly, this is a massive issue, actually. Somebody mentioned it now, Dirk, I think, that, you know, there are two big covenants. The old covenant is the ritual cleansing that using the high priests and all the sacrifices and all that sort of thing, where the man in the street had no access to God, and he had to perform in order to stay right with God, and somebody had to do it on his behalf. But in the new covenant, Jesus as our high priest has done it all. And we do not have to. We don't need a go-between. We have right of access to Father God because of the blood of Jesus. I am holy because I am in the one who is perfectly holy. I am accepted because I am in the one who is perfectly accepted. And so it goes on. And it's my whole confidence is because I am seated with Christ in heavenly places, high above everything. That's whose I am. So don't point fingers at me. Yes, I don't have slippery grace that I can live like a pig. I have to keep short accounts. That's the obedience. I have to stay under the umbrella of God's authority. That's the obedience. If I go out of that, I'm on my own. Then I mustn't moan when the devil attacks me. And it is all about obedience, but a confidence that while my heart is right and trusting only in the finished work of Christ, and trusting that I do not have to add anything to what Jesus has done. I do not have to go and perform or do something. It's not a high mountain that I have to climb to get right with God. All I have to do is turn around and look full in the face of Jesus. But there are so many people that are trying to drag their shame and their grace, their guilt from what they have done or failed to do. They're trying to drag that and live in the old covenant as well as in the new covenant. And that is the problem that many, many people, myself too, for many years, maybe if I have a longer quiet time, or if I can deal with my sin more, if I can kill sin, if I can do, what can I do to get more in favor with God? You see, it's that doing. That's old covenant thinking. The new covenant thinking is being. I'm not a human doing. I'm a human being. My position in Christ. But it's a whole mindset change. There are so many people that even without even knowing it, they go back and think, well, there's something I must do, something more I must do. You can't do anything, man. Jesus did it all, and he did it once. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be taken away. It's finished. It's sorted. And when that freedom, that tetelestai, when that revelation hits you, you will be free indeed, because he is the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Don't do pigeoning, hey Peter.
Don't pigeon the Holy Spirit. Dove him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dove him. If you guys have not watched that little video with R.T. Kendall, do yourself a favor. Peter, don't you want to put it up for us again on the transformation table?
Yeah.
It is really such powerful.
It's such a mindset change, eh? That we have to get, because all of us, our nature is to sort of do something. Mr. Fix It. Especially as men. You know, let me fix this. There are some things you can't fix, my friend. Jesus fixed it, and that's it. The thing is, are you at the center of your life, or is Jesus at the center of your life? You can't both be there. One of you has to move.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's it's I think with the engineering mind, that is the biggest challenge. I will always want to fix it myself. Say, no, don't worry. I've got it. I'll do it. And of course, that is the biggest mistake. Peter, I see you've got your hand up. Go for it, please.
Yeah, I just want to read something. 2 Corinthians 10 from verse 3. Paul said, "For though we live as human beings, we do not wage war according to human standards. For the weapons of our warfare are not human weapons, but they are made powerful by God for tearing down strongholds. We tear down arguments and every arrogant obstacle that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to make it obey Christ." So I think that is a wonderful verse.
Sure.
And you see, it says take every thought captive. It doesn't say take all thoughts captive. We're back to the shield with the fiery darts, one by one by one. And Elkie doesn't give up drink. He just gives up the next drink and then the next one. No, I'm serious. And some guys are in such a deep hole. It's a real war to get out of that hole, because they've fallen into this trap. Every thought, by one, by one, by one. Constantly alert. You never take your armor off. That's a lie, man. Anybody knows that?
Benno
put his hand up a long time ago.
Yes. Benno, please go ahead.
Thank you, Menzo. I just need some advice here of something which I noticed. You will all know that the Jewish people, especially the conservative Jews, wears a little hat all the time. I think it's called a fez. And I was always wondering what is the significance. I've never had the guts to ask one of them of this covering of the head that they are wearing. And I was wondering now if this is a symbol of the helmet that we are talking about. I wonder if somebody can advise me there. Or is it just part of their culture, or is it a symbol of what we're talking about? Thank you, Benzo.
So, does anybody have an answer for Benzo? I've never asked myself. It's a good question. All the Jewish people has left our country. Where are we going to find one to ask?
Maybe go on to the Jews for Jesus website and ask them.
Okay. Let's see if we can get an answer to that. Interesting. Yeah.
The Jew wears a yarmulke.
Yarmulke, that's right.
The Muslim wears a fez.
Yes, that's right.
The fez is that red one, that little red cap.
Yeah. Before we close off this morning, I just wonder, Henry, I want to ask you, Freek was talking about the truth and the attack and the reaction. And you had such a beautiful story. I think it was yesterday or day before yesterday that you put on your WhatsApp group about, you know, the reaction. And I just wanted you to share that with us, if you don't mind. It was a very powerful thing for me at a very, very necessary time, because I realized that my problem is not the action or the attack. My problem was my reaction to the attack, because I immediately went and thought it's the truth. And I, you know, my city of confusion, as Freek says, and there's many confusions here, overrode my the confidence that we were talking about earlier, you know, and when that happens, I'm actually very angry at myself, because I think to myself, how did this happen? How did this happen that I reacted without falling back on my default setting of confidence? Yeah. And it's amazing how, Freek, you were talking about the demon hitting you on a sensitive point. You know, I wanna be present when I see when somebody comes to call you the fat man. I want to see how that works out for them. But it's obviously a sensitive point, you know. And you know, it is amazing how the enemy gets you at your most sensitive point, you know, and before you know it, you've reacted, and your reaction is actually the problem, that you cause more problems with your reaction than. So, Umendri, are you with me on the message that you sent the other day? If you can just give us a little bit of that,
yes,
I think it will be such a powerful thing for us, and it speaks directly to the helmet of salvation.
There's several things, you know. I'm thinking of Joshua, at the beginning of Joshua chapter 1, where God says to him, meditate on my word day and night. You know, Psalms speaks about, Proverbs speaks about it. These are Old Testament things, but they're wonderful things. And David, coming to Goliath, he says, I'm not coming to you as sticks and stones, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. He obviously had an understanding that he's not coming in his own power. And the meditating on the word day and night fills your mind with God's way of doing things, God's thinking, God's plan. So your reaction then to whatever comes your way is not my thinking or my emotions, my anger, my bitterness because somebody's taking my farm away. So my reaction is based on the word. And it's because I filled my mind with the word that I respond to God's principles. And it's filled my mind because I deliberately filled my mind. You know, that's a deliberate action, meditating day and night on the word. That's a deliberate action. I know we speak about it's not what you do, but there is a do part of it. It's a very definite do part. And it's not a doing to fight the enemy. It's a doing to fill my mind with the word so that when I do get attacked, my response is not my emotions, but the word. How I understand that and how I've lived my life and how we've combated many massive attacks. It's just before the attack, you know, it's not when we attack, when we're attacked, that we quickly go and find some scriptures that I can use. You've already filled your mind with the word. So when you're attacked, your response is the word because your whole mind is filled with the word.
It is what's in you that comes out when you get squeezed. I remember, Henry, you brought us word one morning there at the hotel, at Manne van die Woord, and I remember we were sitting on the stoop outside. You must see how beautiful they made that stoop now. But we were sitting on the stoop outside. It was a coolish morning, and you were telling us the story about, you know, what is in you will come out as soon as you get squeezed. You know, if it's hatred and you get squeezed, you speak hatred. If it's love that's in you and you get squeezed, it is the seed that's growing in you. And you know, a while ago we had a camp based on the seed, and I'm realizing how much that seed is such a powerful thing. It is that thing that is growing inside you that is going to come out when you get squeezed. You know, it's like a sponge, I would imagine, and whatever the sponge is lying in to suck up, that is what it's going to produce when it gets squeezed. Alida, go ahead, please.
Jesus said that the tree is known by its fruit. When the season comes, you don't squeeze to get the fruit out. That's been a lot of work there, the watering of the tree and the roots going down and taking all the nutrients. And, you know, in its season, when you need fruit, it's all the work's been done. And it's not work squeezing the fruit. It's the work of preparing the heart so that what's inside will come out, and it's something sweet fruit.
Alida, go for it.
So the work of Jesus is perfect, no? But the way we put on the helmet, maybe that's not always that effective, because our faith. Well, it's not always according to the will or the word of God. So if we feed our minds with a word and not with our opinions or what we see or our own emotions, the helmet is getting more effective, I believe. And then there's another thing from Henry, maybe, and Peter, you will be able to help. There's another thing that the Lord tells us that we can put on or will be put on our heads, and that's a crown. So now it's war season, and I think when Jesus comes again, that war season ends, and then we will be crowned. I was reading in 1 Peter 5, verse 4, maybe Freek, if you can put that on for us.
Just saying,
1 Peter 5, verse 4. And it's especially for you who are leaders in the body of Christ. Here in my version, Amplified, it says, and then when the chief shepherd is revealed, you will win the conqueror's crown of glory. So, It's that hope also, yeah, that is pulling us through in this war season. That is, one day there will be exchange from a helmet to a crown.
It's part of our hope of salvation. It's the hope that we have.
Yes.
We live this life with eternity in mind.
We must realize that a crown is not something we put on. It's a reward that the Lord gives us. We can't exalt ourselves to the crown. He puts us, he puts the crown on. Our work is to fill our minds and fill our hearts with the word and respond, act according to the word. Eventually, we will receive the crown of life. That's something we're given. It's not we ourselves exalting ourselves.
This is very interesting, guys. I was listening to music in my car, And you know, the song, the Rocky theme song came up, you know, and there's a part in the song where it says, don't give up your passion for glory. You know, and I, a friend of mine uses this sentence often. He says, we may touch his gold, but we may not touch his glory. And Freek, I was thinking when I heard that voice, I was thinking about you. You know, that don't give up your passion for glory, because it's not our glory that we can take. You know, and that is, I think, as human beings, we are not made we certainly are not made to give ourselves glory, but we are not doing well in glory. You know, we do well in passion, but many times great leaders fall when they start touching the glory. This is just my thought, guys. Maybe we can find some, I'm sure we'll find some biblical basis for this. But as human beings, we do not do great with glory, but we do great in passion. Yeah, the thing that you want to fight, the thing that you work hard at, stay there. The moment you swap that that passion and you consume the glory that comes out of it, that's when things go wrong. You know, we talk about a comfort zone. You know, we spoke about the comfort zone the other day. How dangerous the comfort zone is. I think the glory zone can be equally dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but as long as you stay in the passion zone, you're in a good place. Because as soon as you're in the passion zone, you're not in the comfort zone or in the glory zone. Yeah, that's just something that I was busy with in the past couple of days in my mind. You know, because it's a dangerous place. Where are you safe?
God doesn't share his glory with anybody.
Yes.
And don't think it is yours. We're back to the three G's that can bring down any man of God. It's the gold, the glory, or the girls. I'm serious. Those three G's are be careful. And glory is one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know if there's anybody. Anthony, you had your hand up at the stage, I'm sure.
Yes, I struggled with the concept Peter put down earlier about being and doing. You know, to be obedient, you have to do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. You can't be that. So just wanted him to elaborate a bit on that. I completely understand the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. But sanctification, part of sanctification, not justification, is following the Holy Spirit. And to follow the Holy Spirit, you have to do what he tells you to do. If you're not obedient, then you can't be obedient and not do what he says you're gonna do. So and I'm also not just asking for me, I'm asking for the benefit of other people as well, because the truth be told, you know, we all, you know, if I go into war, I'm not going to look for the guy with the gevechtsuitrusting. I'm going to look for the guy with the meeste market, and I've got that ervaring. You know, that guy's gone through it. I mean, it's like, I'm not going to take a guy who's got a nice shiny armor. I'm going to go look for Dirk Lista, because I know this guy's got a sharp left and he's been through it. Do you understand what I'm saying? ultimately, you know, the fact is you put on the helmet of salvation, and then you're going to be tested in putting on that helmet of salvation. You know, just a small testimony for me, I struggle with because of the trauma and the sexual abuse and everything that I've gone through in my life, and the drug addict and whatever in the past. I struggled for years with nightmares. You know, I would have a strong day, but at night I'm scared to get into my bed because it's just this vicious dreams, you know, vicious dreams and frustrating. And And so I started putting on the armor, physically putting it on at night before I go, said, Lord, I'm putting on the armor now. And lo and behold, I also asked for the Lord to put an angel there to protect my dreams. And when I don't do that, I'm just attacked, man. And if I do that, I sleep better. Now that's only the sleeping part. The waking part is different because this is another world of dying. And I sometimes struggle with the concept of putting on the helmet of salvation. And then I get attacked, you know. And that scripture that Peter gave for us in 2 Corinthians 5, taking every thought captive, this is a lot easier said than done, if I can put it that way, especially if you're under pressure, you know, if your world's falling apart, you know, if everything around you is burning and you can't understand why, because you're trying to do the good things of the Lord. You know, the Lord says, treat other people the way you want to be treated. Then you treat other people the way you want to be treated, but you don't get treated that way back. So, yeah, you are in this war. You're in this. And how does the helmet of salvation work to protect that? And that's kind of the questions I have in my mind.
Well, okay. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you for. Let's see if we can get some clarity. I agree with you. Obedience to the Holy Spirit is what it's all about. Yes, yes, yes. What I was talking about is when you're not in a good place with God, let's say you've sinned or you've fallen or something, then our neiging, our inner nature is to go and look to something in ourselves to fix it. In your own strength. And that is where we fall short. We cannot add anything to what Jesus has done. In your own works, you cannot provide your salvation. That's what I'm saying. But follow the obedience of the Holy Spirit. That is where your salvation lies. And that's where your hope is. So I agree 100% with you. You have to follow and be obedient. And even the timing is so important. He gives you a strategy. He gives you a way out. For every temptation, God gives you a way out. He will never give you more than you can handle. But you need to acknowledge him. You need to ask him. You need to admit to him he's God and you're not. And ask him to show you, to give you the strategy, the way out. That's obviously, maybe we'll need to talk some other day on this, but for now.
It's a big subject. Yes, absolutely. I want to try and keep this, close the meeting, guys. I just want to, Umenri, do you want to add something? Okay, you've not got your hand up. You've got you agree. Great. Umenri, do you want to add something?
The thing of doing, I think there's one major aspect of doing that I've learned is so valuable. That is, John 15, abiding in the vine, making sure that you're connected with just an intimacy of relationship with Jesus. That spending time with him just is worth all the other efforts that you can try to do to try and combat sin or overcome this or overcome that. It's just spending time with Jesus. And, you know, it says he abides in the vine. The Father desires that you bear much fruit, but that bearing of fruit, the victories, the overcoming, and whatever fruit there might be, the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and so on, in the most adverse of circumstances, that comes out of being constantly abiding in the vine, just loving him and just spending time with him and meditating on the Word. I mean, he is the Word, just spending time with him. The more we are filled with his Word, that's a doing part. It's not my efforts of trying to overcome a sin. It's rather my efforts of just being in him and making sure that I'm abiding in the vine all the time, all the time, all the time. That has, for me, been my victory.
Just a last word, Menzo, for Anthony. On the Watergat, on the watering hole, I will be doing a series of three messages in the near future, dealing exactly with this. Do you know the promises of the new covenant? And are you living in the new covenant or in a mixture of the two? So look out for those. We deal with this subject in a far more detail, and hopefully that will give you many answers. Thanks, Put, for bringing that up. I appreciate your input because of your perspective. Thank you.
Well, so Peter, can I ask? Sorry, Anthony. Can I ask you to post those for us on the transformation table? I think it will be valuable to all of us, please, Peter. So, when Henry was talking about that time, and I heard somebody said the other day, the effectiveness comes from the assassination hour. Now, so that's an interesting concept. What are you talking about? You know, and he's talking about his quiet time. Now, it's interesting how the guys call it different words. I've got a friend that calls it his Sera state. You know, because he's a praise and worshiper. So he says he couldn't care if the whole household wakes up when in his hour of quiet time, he is noisy. Yeah, it's his noisy time. And then this guy calls it his assassination time, because what he does is he assassins the enemy and the thoughts that comes into the city of confusion in that time. He is dealing with, you know, he's killing off the negative things so that the positive things can thrive, the godly things can thrive in his mind, you know. But doesn't matter what we call it. The best personal advice I've ever got in my life was from Angus, where he said, "Make time first thing in the morning your first fruit," and just being, you know, the problems we're trying to have a shopping list and a you know, praying, but being in the presence of God, not doing in the presence of God, but being, you know, there is where the beauty lies. There is where things happen.
Give him the time, and he will develop it.
Yes, 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 yes. I think if there was a plan of action. Yeah, in the Bible, and says this is what you do in your quiet time. You know, this is what you do. You start off with this, and then you do this, and then what you now need to do is you do this. There's no such thing. It is just give him the time, because each one of us is the individual. You know, why are you laughing like that? It is, we all individuals, and we have individual relationships.
We are control freaks.
Yes,
and we need to surrender control.
Yes.
Either he is preeminent or I am preeminent.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, you know what I tell myself, and I'm going to be naughty now. I often tell myself when I sit in quiet and say, don't be a wise ass, means sit and listen. because that's my problem. I want to say, okay, let's do this and see how it works out. It doesn't work.
Mr. Fix It.
Yeah. listen. Yeah, learn to listen. Yeah. Cool. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else that wants to add something? Are we going to call it a meeting, Freya? Thank you very much. So thank you very much, guys and ladies, for an awesome meeting this morning talking about the helmet of salvation. I've got a suspicion, like always, we just scratched the surface on this. There's so much more, you know, and there's something special that came out here, and that is that confidence. We're not crows that scrounge around on the ground, fighting each other for the scraps. We are eagles, you know, and it's not the crown that we put on, but the crown that God puts on us you know, that we are the eagles, and think like an eagle, don't think, or think like a dove, not think like a pigeon. Peter, would you post that thing for us again, please, from Artie Kendall? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Have an awesome day. Be blessed. Mm-hmm.